Hey everyone, welcome back to Bitcoin Banter. I've got Rick today. I think Tony's got some power outages going on where he is. I'm surprised he doesn't have like 10 backups, but it's just going to be Rick and I at least for now, and Tony can jump on if he's able. Rick, welcome back.
Yeah, good to see you, man. How are you? You're in Nashville now, right?
I'm in Nashville. I'm staying at a little apartment down here, and I got my bed on the floor over there. I feel like a real club.
Good stuff, good
Just a
stuff.
twin mattress. Yeah, no, it's the right vibe for a Bitcoin conference. So,
Sounds
hey,
good.
let's jump right into the news. You shared a few things that I think are interesting. And first of all, I gotta give you some major credit. You were right. You were last week we were talking about Elon Musk throwing laser eyes on, and you didn't necessarily call it out that he was trolling, but you said, "I'm open to anything. I've seen this. Elon's kind of a troll." And his laser eyes are gone, and now they have removed the Bitcoin emoji from the Bitcoin hashtag on X. Would you like to revel in the glory of being right?
I guess not really. It's more a product of just, having been on Bitcoin Twitter for a long time and just seeing Elon's behavior over the years, right? Like I think he consistently trolls like Bitcoiners. He enjoys it, right? With all the Doge stuff and then, accepting Bitcoin for payment on his cars and then removing it and, all the little comments he makes and stuff. So my interpretation of it is he's just like a billionaire with loads of money. His concept of money, I'm sure, is completely different to ours, right? And life's a game to him to a certain extent. I think he just gets a kick out of it. So he puts the laser eyes on, all the Bitcoiners get excited, and then he removes the hashtag thing. To be honest, yeah, I think he's just having a giggle, to be honest. So I try, there's things that Musk does that I like, right? Like supporting free speech, that's great. And I like the way he comments on some of the problems of the US government and further afield is good. But when it comes to Bitcoin, yeah, he's an interesting one. I don't know whether he supports it or not, really, based on his actions.
I don't know. I imagine he holds some personally. He certainly, I would feel like, has the financial means to do so, to hedge his bets or whatever, however he views that. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's got a load of some additional assets that we wouldn't encourage people to study or hold. I've had a problem with the Bitcoin hashtag the hashtag for a while though, where like the emoji wasn't showing. So I don't know if this was only kind of news to me because it was like intermittently working when I would do hashtag Bitcoin. So yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that's just some fun news and more exciting news. RFK, who so we're recording this on Friday, the what's today, the 26th. We'll share it tomorrow. But RFK, who's going to be down here, and I think speaking today, actually, went on CNBC and said the off-ramp for the money printing machine is Bitcoin. And I actually saw a clip of him too, of him saying it might have been here in Nashville. He was chatting. He said that after he left last year, he ended up putting most of his net worth in Bitcoin. I think you'd take any politician's words with a grain of salt, but, I like RFK. He seems like the real deal. He seems like a good guy. He seems to certainly understand some of this. He understands the problems, I think, much better than most politicians do that we face. Now, whether or not you agree with the conclusions at which he arrives in terms of policy is obviously another matter, but it's pretty cool to have someone of, his intellect and in my personal view, his earnestness on the side of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't have strong opinions about RFK in general, right? Not being in the US, I don't know much about his policy or the things he's done or hasn't done over the years. But just based on those comments, like I was pleasantly surprised to hear the way he was talking about Bitcoin being basically an escape from, monetary debasement and the federal government printing too much money. So yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like very much that he gets it, right? That gets right to the crux of the problem, and it suggests that he's understood it. And I saw him in another clip, just a short clip that was, him talking about him putting most of his net worth into Bitcoin, that he's committed and that he's got no plans to sell it, even though, he's held it for a little bit now. I think the interviewer asked like he'd maybe doubled his money or something. I mean, money, we're talking about dollars, not really money, but he seems to be like, yeah, fairly uninterested in sort of taking profit. So, it does allude to maybe he's moved out of that sort of fiat mindset to be thinking that way. So again, it's all kind of crazy, right? It's all coming quite thick and fast is what I think's quite interesting, right? Like we talked just last week and maybe touched on it the week before about the Republican Party's comments on Bitcoin and self-custody and CBDCs and all this stuff, and the language there was very, very strong, right? In support of Bitcoin and actually not just Bitcoin as an asset, but Bitcoin as a tool for freedom and self-sovereignty. And then to hear RFK make such strong statements about money printing and inflation and that he's right behind Bitcoin. I mean, these are presidential candidates. So, that's yes, there's no way to get away from it. It's pretty crazy what we're hearing. And yeah, I'm quietly optimistic that this is a trend where just more of the world's getting on. But also, I'm holding on to that shred of skepticism about anything that politicians do because, well, at the end of the day, we don't actually need their permission anyway. So we're going to do it anyway. They're either coming or they're not. If they come, that's great for them. If they don't, well, who cares?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of truth to the meme that we don't, Bitcoin doesn't need politicians. Politicians need Bitcoin. At the same time, short term, they can make our lives, more miserable or really elongate the time horizon for Bitcoins for something, akin to hyper Bitcoinization. So, yeah, I don't cling to every word that any politician says about Bitcoin, but I'm grateful that the trajectory seems to be a positive one, and we'll just have to play it out and see who takes office in November and what they actually do when the rubber meets the road. But
I hope is yeah,
bullish
sorry to co
regardless. No,
I was just gonna say like you triggered something in my brain, which is that like politicians, they're meant to be public servants, right? They're meant to answer to the people, and I think we've now reached a world through the money printing that gives them outsized power. We've given them too much sort of credence, too much influence over our lives. So I like the idea that the politicians are coming along, but I also like the idea that we strip the power away from them and that Bitcoin gives us a tool that we're the ones in charge. And like what I want from my politicians is like, the bin collection works, the underground train system works, the roads are paved and not full of potholes. What we don't want is these like omnipotent beings that try and control every facet of our life and how we think and how we behave and sort of lean on our freedoms. And I think that's what excites me most is, I very much see it as they're not endorsing Bitcoin or giving us permission so much as they are actually capitulating to it because they've figured out earlier than the rest of them, like this is going to strip us of our power. The way we're going to have to do it is either get on board or get left behind. So fingers crossed that's what we're seeing, but time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way of framing it. And then last, we'll talk a little bit about the conference, but last but not least, if you didn't already hate the government, here's one more reason to do so. 76%, over three quarters of all personal income tax went to servicing the $34 trillion national debt here in the United States. And Peter St. Ange is awesome, and he sort of talks about FDR and Richard Nixon, the New Deal, leaving the gold standard. He says together they broke the dollar. I would probably add to that no politician since has been particularly helpful in alleviating, but rather exacerbating the issues. But I mean, this is what I think a lot of people. So Nayib Bukele of El Salvador, he gave you've probably seen the speech, but he one of the things he said was, "So if the government can print money, why do you pay taxes?" And it's to give you the illusion that you're funding the government. And this is like the paradigm that that the masses need to step into, that they need to recognize. Like you are working your ass off for, all week long, all year long. You get a couple weeks break, and when they take that pay, your paycheck, and take 20, 30, 40% of it, all you're doing is paying past incompetence from the government. Like, or at least three quarters of what you're doing is paying down past incompetence of the federal government. And that would really piss a lot of people off if they internalize that. But what they think they're doing is paving the roads and funding the military and the police force and there's self-protection and those sorts of things. And it's like, no, nah, they're just taking on more debt to fund most things, or printing money to fund others. Like, it's really this, like, you're just paying interest on stuff that politicians have decided to unilaterally do. Any comments? I don't know what the situation is in the UK in terms of the numbers, but I can't imagine
I
it's
mean,
dissimilar in.
it's the same system, it's, I mean, the numbers are getting absolutely astonishing everywhere now. I think that's the bottom line. But it's interesting you bring up Bukele and what he said, because I might even go want to go one step further than what he said. It's, I think there's more to it than it just being the illusion that you fund the government. I mean, that is the trick that they're pulling here. But I think it's more than that, because you asked, well, if they can print money to fund whatever crazy stuff they want to fund, then why do they need to tax me as well? And that's a really interesting question, right? Because if they can create as much money, it doesn't make any sense. So I think the real reason is, well, yes, to give you the illusion that you're funding government so they can pull off the con. But also, I think it's quite a subtle method of sort of subjugation and keeping you in control. Because if they're taking away 50, 60% of your income every year or more, by the time you're taxed on what you spend and everything else, it's an act of suppression in my mind, because it stops you doing any sort of accumulation, right? It stops you improving your own environment and working with other people. That if they keep you poor, they can keep you to heel. Right? They give you less agency, less control over your own life. You're less likely to rattle the cage and notice the ceiling. So yeah, it's absolutely wild. And they've been playing this game a long time, because in my mind, you're not just paying for past incompetence. I mean, almost certainly the government's incompetent at practically everything they do, right? But I think it's worse than that. I think you're paying for their past theft. It's not so much that they're just wasting it, which they do. Like, they can never pave a road without making a total mess of it, right? Or spending way too much money. But actually, they're stealing it as well, right? So that's what you're paying for. Where three quarters of these dollars are going is into the wrong people's pockets, who provide no value to society. Their entire existence is parasitical, right? Like, they don't produce anything. They just sit there creaming off of everybody else. And the problem is, this Ponzi scheme can only last for so long. Like, I watched that video you sent, right? And I just jotted down some of the numbers that really made me just go, wow. They said in June they raised 185 billion in income tax, but they spent 140 billion just on interest payments on the debt. Like, the numbers are getting really silly. And apparently this has gone up by 8% in 1 year. And they're suggesting that if that trajectory continues, that in 6 years, the interest payments will be more than the income tax. And surely at that point, the cat is out of the bag, because, like, well, how are you paying for the rest? And the answer has to be by printing money. So they're in big trouble here. I, you know, there's no way, there's no real way out of it, right? They're either gonna default on the debt or hyperinflate the currency. And if we learn anything from history, it's that that governments almost always pick option two, right? The Romans did it, centuries ago, right? With the coin clipping, right? Instead of defaulting, what they'll do is they'll just stretch the money further and further and further until we end up in Weimar Germany. So yeah, it's astonishing how bad it is. I think we know how this all ends. That's why we're in Bitcoin, right? But it's concerning, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the people who've been betting on fiscal responsibility, austerity measures, they're gonna get their faces ripped off, and yeah, they're not gonna default. There's not gonna be a hard default on the debt. I mean, money printing is the only politically viable way, and politicians seek the path of least resistance time and time again. I think you're to your point, history repeats itself. But yeah, I mean, it's the hard thing, I think, is just like, if I just said that, like, what was the exact sentence? 76% of all personal income tax last month went to servicing the $34 trillion debt. Like, I think if I just said that sentence to 8 out of 10 people in my life, they wouldn't e even understand what I meant by that. Like, we're so like financially and economically illiterate that it wouldn't translate into like, we have to pay interest on this debt, and it's a completely unproductive expense. And so you're basically just pouring money into the government to fund irresponsibility. Like, most people just wouldn't get it. And so I think we need to achieve some like minimum level of macro and financial IQ in our country for people to even begin to recognize the problem. That's why, like, the only way you can orange pill someone is either they're like already primed for it, they kind of get it a little bit, or you really have a chance to sit down with them and like explain what's going on. Like, this is what this means, and here are options A and B, effectively, are really the two. And option B is what they're going to print. Like, that's at the end of the day. And what happens when they print money? Well, your home price goes up, but not really. You just can't afford as much home, you know? Like, that's really what happens. And your groceries triple in cost, and your gas prices go up. And yeah, it's wild. It just feels like such a big hurdle for a lot of people to get over, but you're spot on.
Yeah, and that's why the education piece is so difficult, right? Is they don't teach money in school for a reason. They don't want you to understand it because then the game is up. And I think it's going to take a wee while for people to figure it out. And what I'm also expecting and a bit nervous about, if I'm honest, is that when this thing goes pop, they are not going to admit that it was their mistakes or their greed that led to this. They're probably going to blame Bitcoiners. And we should be ready for a future where the world's just a little bit crazy, people are a little bit desperate, and people are incorrectly pointing fingers at Bitcoiners, saying that we caused it. Like that is what I'm fully expecting to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're probably right about that. I guess last but not least, so I'm down here in Nashville for the Bitcoin conference. So if you see the black hat and the gray shirt, come say hi. I even got a haircut, which, Rick, you astutely pointed out, no one's going to see because I just put my hat back on. Yeah, it's this is a so this is my first big Bitcoin conference, and so it's a very different event than anything I've been to before. I was just looking over the agenda, just lots of good speakers. It's like, it's one of those things, you just can't go see everything because there's, I don't know, eight stages or something like that. But it's cool to see, like, all the hype is obviously around RFK and Trump and, these sorts of people. And I think that's awesome. I'm not enamored with anyone in particular, but appreciative that that seems to be the path that we're on. But there are so many just good learning opportunities, good speakers on, how are we, and there are plenty of stupid topics too, but like, the Lightning Network and policy and mining, and it's exciting to just see the diverse range of areas of expertise that come together for an event like this to talk about what they're doing and why, how they're, improving the network, bringing education across the globe, just all sorts of good stuff. So I'm bullish.
Yeah, it's wild, man. I shared a tweet on the Bitcoin Way account just yesterday, right? And I put a picture of Andreas talking, teaching Bitcoin in 2013 on a stage, right? And there's like a whole load of empty chairs and like two people are watching. And then, to juxtapose that, I put a picture of the Bitcoin conference center and stuff like that. And it just well, that was 11 years ago. Now, 11 years is like, that's a serious chunk of time, right? But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long. So to see, where we were and now looking at a conference like this, it's really mind-boggling. It's absolutely crazy, and it makes you really wonder where will we be in 10 years, right? So yeah, I'm jealous, man. Like it should be exciting. What do you think you're most excited about if you had to pick one thing?
Not standing in line to see Trump speak. I'm gonna give it a try, but I've been forewarned that it could be wild. There, I'm trying to think of who a few speakers were that I saw. I mean, so like mining is a rabbit hole I have not gone down deeply. Like I get how Bitcoin can help balance the grid and, promote renewables and like all that stuff. I know it's important, but it's not like a topic that interests me that much, but it's something I want to start to learn more about. And probably for me, like less so the societal impact, but more just like the technology. And like as I think like I'm really intrigued by like what ocean mining is doing. And so I think there's a speech on or a talk, a panel on mining decentralization. So I'm hoping to get to some of those. It's just hard because there's like, five people speaking at different times. I already saw one or two that over, or it's like, oh, I need to go see that. I scrolled down. It's like 10 minutes later, another talk starts. I was like, oh, I want to see that one too. So I just need to like sit down before I head out here in a few minutes and like piece it all together and figure out what my day looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I've reached a point now with the Bitcoin conferences that I've given up trying to see the talks because I know I can watch them on YouTube when I get home. So what I try and do is like maximize the things I can't do when I'm at home, which is like, oh, it's always my favorite just meeting other Bitcoiners. I've met some of the coolest people I know that I've become like firm friends with, and that's what always gives me the most buzz. So like half the time I pay for this stupid ticket, right? I've God knows what price to whatever Bitcoin conference, and then I'm sitting on a bench outside chatting to people for 2 days straight, and we could have just gone to a local cafe, right? But the energy is cool. Like I think it's going to be absolutely mad, and like I'm not going to lie, like I would definitely go and see Trump speak because the
The buzz,
atmosphere in the
yeah.
room is going to just be it's going to be like being like a heavyweight boxing match or something, like for the belt or something. So yeah, no, I'm jealous, man. I'm interested to hear all about it when you get back. And I had a thought, if you do make like really good pals with someone there, maybe we could get them on the Bitcoin Banter pod to tell us like what their experience was like afterwards. That might be quite kind of interesting, right?
Definitely, you definitely, yeah. I agree with you. I'm gonna walk around and hopefully go meet a lot of people who I've interviewed, who I've chatted with, and in my brief time with the Bitcoin Way, and make some good connections because it's just such an interesting group of people. It's unlike anything I've ever worked in before.
Very cool, man.
So
Very cool. Well,
looking
I'll leave
forward
you to
to
it.
it.
You need to get going. Go and check it
I
out.
know. I know. Hey, for anyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Of course, check out the Bitcoin Way. We help you protect your money, protect your online life, give you plan B options if you're unsure of where the world is headed. So check out the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We are Bitcoin only. All the hardware we recommend and support are air-gapped open source. We make no compromise. So check us out, the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you and teach you more about what it is we do. And in the meantime, we'll be back next week with Bitcoin Banter. And keep it a follow us on X at the Bitcoin Way underscore. I'll be hopefully Rick passing some good content along to you. And some if I work up the nerve to pull out my selfie stick, and I don't have a selfie stick, but videotape myself, I'll do that. If nothing else, we'll have some good pictures.
Oh, cool. All right. Enjoy
All
yourself,
right,
man.
thanks, man. Cheers, everyone.
Bye now.